Hello, women in retail leaders, and welcome to episode 2 of Women in Retail Talks. I'm Melissa Campanelli, co-founder of the Women in Retail Leadership Circle. In today's episode, we're excited to offer a presentation that was given by Julie Gardner, the former CMO of Kohl's, at our recent Girl Talks event in San Francisco. Listen to Julie explain her secrets to success.
My life's had a lot of really sharp left turns, both personally and professionally. And in my most recent position, I had a $1 billion budget and 650 people working for me. So I really had a lot of stress. And at the same time, I was able to work with some of the most talented people in the industry. And I learned an incredible amount and had amazing experiences. So my goal today is to share some of the wisdom that I garnered through my years in retail and some of my experiences, and hope that it'll help you as you develop your own story about you. So I love this quote. This quote to me, my mom used to tell me the first word out of my mouth was why. And I just kept saying why as a kid. So I think that whole idea of being curious is a big part of being successful. And by being curious and talking to people and understanding why things work and how business works and how people in other departments work and how this works and that works, it's just really a great framework for your mind to just be curious all the time. And I think my asking why all the time also helped me to become a great listener, because if you ask why, then you have to listen to the answer. So I also think listening is a great skill set. And I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear people's thoughts and their opinions and their theories and what they're doing. And I think the more that you can listen versus talking, the smarter that you get as you move through your career. So I've had a lot of adventures. I only have 15 minutes. So I'm going to take a few of the adventures that I've had, and I'm going to put it in the framework of a book that I really love. And that book is called The Four Agreements. Has anyone here read The Four Agreements? Oh, great. OK, so we have some people who've read it. I knew this was a really smart group. That's why I said yes when she asked me to come. Thanks, Melissa. But the Four Agreements is really about making agreements with yourself, four agreements with yourself. And it becomes a code really to live by, both personally and professionally. So the first agreement that you make with yourself is about being honest and about being truthful and being kind. Not nice, but kind. And I would add to that to be vulnerable, because I think vulnerability is a huge power that we have, especially as women, but I just think being vulnerable is something that we all can really work on. So that's the first agreement. And if you think about being impeccable with your word, words are really powerful. You have to really choose your words really carefully, because they are very powerful. And one of the things that I've done in my career very successfully is to always add a personal story whenever I'm giving a presentation. Today's all about personal stories. But I always, even if I'm talking about a financial strategy or a very technical piece of the business that I'm working on, adding a personal story is really powerful. And it makes people listen. And by the way, when you talk, when you are saying something personally, you speak completely differently than when you're reading a speech. So a personal story is really, really powerful. I'm going to give you an example. I was in front of our operations team, which was about 300 people, and I was presenting our back-to-school marketing to them, and we had utilized Lenny Kravitz as one of our marketing ideas for back-to-school to represent jeans, because jeans are important for back-to-school. And it just so happened that I've had a crush on Lenny Kravitz since I was 15 years old. So I'm standing in front of everybody, and I'm talking about Lenny, and I'm getting more, I'm doing it right now. I actually was getting red in front of all these people, and as I was showing all the marketing, and then I showed the television commercial, and that was about him playing the guitar, and it was a tight shot on his back end, because we were showing we had the red tag Levi's. So by the time the commercial started, I was completely flushed and I was fanning myself and I said, we're going to sell a lot of Levi's. And you know, everybody got to their feet and they were so excited about it. And part of it was a great commercial, but more importantly, it was because I really connected with them, because I showed that I was really being honest in what I was talking about, and I was really being vulnerable by, not intentionally, really getting personal right on the stage. And I think when you're impeccable with your word, people, they trust you more. And when they trust you, they go to bat for you, they support you, and we all need that in the community of work that we're in. People who will always say positive things about you, and I think that's really important. Okay, the second agreement I love, this is so liberating. Don't take it personally. Everything that people do and everything that they say is based on their reality. It really actually has nothing to do with you. So we all take everything personally when in fact it's really about them. It's not about you. And when you start understanding that, it's really quite powerful. So to me, the most important thing is to be confident. And one of the tricks that I have is to think about how great I am. And I am a very humble person, okay? But when you start thinking, I'm really great, I really know what I'm doing, I'm an expert in this, I'm gonna really hit this out of the park, your mind actually believes that, and your body believes that, and you stand up straight, and you look confident, and everybody believes in you. So forget the negative talk. Think really positively about yourself with humility, but really do that. And I'm telling you, it sounds corny, and it is so true. So do that. I an example of this, not taking it personally, I was in a meeting with a GMM. And we were going through holiday actually with her, and she was incredibly negative about everything we talked about, and this was not like her at all. So I followed up with her afterwards, and I said, "Hey, Amy, what's up?" And she said, "You know what? I was given impossible goals for my inventory and my sales for holiday. It's impossible. I'm never going to make my plan, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it." And I realized. She walked into the meeting with that. So again, it wasn't about my leadership, it wasn't about my team, it wasn't about our marketing plan. It was really about her own fears. So don't take it personally. I love this quote too. You know, you really have to trust in yourself. You have to believe in yourself. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. You have to believe that you can do it and have trust in yourself. Okay, the third. Don't make assumptions, and we all do this. I mean, we do this all the time, and it's one of our worst enemies. So one of the most surprising things that happened in my career, getting back to my personal stories, is I was meeting with Vera Wang, and we had just coined a deal with Vera to have a line of clothes. So I did all this research about her, and I learned everything I could about her and her brand and how she liked to merchandise and how she liked to market. And I got all psyched up for this meeting. And then I sat down with her and I had all these concept boards. So everything was very loose because I just wanted to kind of get her take on everything. And so I had all these pieces of paper all over the place and I finished my presentation. And I sat back and she looked at me and she gathered all this paper. I mean, she just literally took all the paper and she put it to her chest, and she said, "I know you're gonna take really good care of me." I couldn't believe it. I thought, this most iconic woman, a top 10 designer in the world, and she has the same fears and the same nervousness about this that I do. And it never occurred to me, because I assumed, because of her persona, that it was going to go a completely different direction. So don't make any assumptions. Great quote. And you know, along with not making assumptions is to ask questions. And sometimes it's really scary to ask questions. A lot of times I had to ask a question and I thought, is this probably a dumb question? But I really need to know the answer to this. So I would ask. And a lot of people in the room would say, I had the same question, I really didn't understand that. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do that, but do it because it also shows leadership and confidence. And then the last agreement, always do your best. And for this, I'm gonna tell you a story that's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. But we had signed a deal with Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony. And they were happily married, and it was great. So we created our first campaign, and everything was done. It's one very iconic piece of, a very iconic photograph. And because they were so perfect for each other, she was sitting in his lap, and they were, you know, completely, dialed up in their clothes, their own separate lines, but she was in his lap, and it was just this really amazing connection that was demonstrated in this photo, and we loved it. So we put it everywhere. You know, it was in the direct marketing, it was national magazine ads, it was email, it was social, it was everything. And I sent her the final FYI copy, and her manager called me and said, you know, Jennifer would like for you to come to LA. She wants to talk to you about something tomorrow. And I said, yeah, I can't come tomorrow. And I had done that on many occasions, by the way. So I said, I just can't. I have the board in. I can't come. And so she got on the phone, and she said, you know, I really wanted to tell you this in person, and nobody can know about this because it's not being announced for about 7 to 10 days, but Mark and I are splitting. I was like, what? You can't split up? What are you talking about? The whole campaign is done. No, I didn't say that, but I thought that for sure. I really did think that. And so I didn't know what to do. And she said, I understand if you can't do anything about it, but it's probably gonna be really awkward when this, you know, right? Yeah, you think, you know? So, and the PR person in me is thinking, I could spin this, it could get a lot of attention, you know, but no, that would be bad. So I you know, went into my office and I grabbed my person in charge of brand creative and I said, I confided in her, totally trusted her, and I said, you're the only person who can know this, but we need to change all of this. And the magazine deadline, which has been extended like 5 times, is actually tomorrow for sure. And so we came up with an idea, and we got the right people together, and we said, look, there's a change in strategy. We really think it's important to delineate the brands. And so we want to decouple Jennifer and Mark, because we don't want anyone to be confused that they're, you know, and everyone just, you know, got on it. And they literally worked overnight. We got it done, and no one, except for a few of us, ever actually knew the difference. We even had to the merchants. They said, everything's changing. I'm like, new strategy. I mean, it was really, really, really unbelievable what everybody did. And, you know, I could have said no, and Nancy could have said no, and her team could have said no. But we always did our best. And I think in retail, we just work harder. I mean, we all work so hard. We always go the extra mile. And I think that is what makes us really, really, really good. But it's an extreme example of just always doing your best and not ever saying no. Again, go the extra mile. It's what we're all about. And you know, if you think about going the extra mile and really standing out from the crowd, to me, it's not about outshining the people around you. It's really just about knowing that you're dedicated to do the very best you can and having no regrets. Just knowing I did the best. A lot of times, maybe the best that I can do, you know, somebody else could do better. I'm totally comfortable with that, but I know I did my best. And that's the fourth agreement. So, looking back at my career, you know, it was an amazing career. I had an incredible opportunity to learn an enormous amount, to grow personally so much, hopefully to contribute to the companies that I work for. But I really knew that there were so many other things that I wanted to do. There were just a lot of things. I was working, yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I was working all the time. So I really felt like I needed to move on to find some other things that I was really interested in. And after I talked to my financial planner, which I would highly recommend, so I didn't have to go back to work when I was 75, he said, yeah, you're okay, you can do it, which was really Incredible. So I did. So I retired in 2012. I told my boss in April I was gone at the end of the year. Those were the really longest 9 months of my life, knowing that I wasn't going to be there, but it was great. And I'm very thankful for the career that I had. But it was really scary to retire for a lot of different reasons. But I went ahead with it, and I first started by focusing on myself. And you know, honestly, it was the first time I ever focused on myself. So I would encourage you to find a little space in your life for yourself, because it's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, just little things. I started taking Pilates, I started with yoga, I started traveling that I always wanted to do. I took dance lessons, I took sailing lessons. I was doing just everything I could possibly think of that was remotely interested in me to see what would stick. And it was all so much fun. It was absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, one of the things that I want to leave you with is to just be open to what's next. Because, and Denise and I were talking about this, it's so easy to just put your head down and just be doing so many things, and you miss a million different things, and you underestimate how many things will come into your life. If you just kind of make room for it and close the one door, a million other doors really are going to open, and it sounds cliche, but it's true. So to give you an idea of what happened to me, I left Wisconsin because I'm a smart girl, and I moved to Los Angeles because I'm a smart girl. I have a beautiful home in a suburb of Los Angeles. I married the man of my dreams in January on Malibu Beach. Yay! I'm a pretty good salsa dancer now. I can do ballroom dancing. And I feel really great about myself. And I have no second thoughts about the career that I had, but I really knew I made the right decision as soon as I started doing other things. And again, I think that for me, it was just a matter of opening up my opportunities. And I said no to a lot of recruiters after I retired because no one thought I was actually serious, except for one recruiter. He called me and he said, "Would you ever consider doing board work?" And I had never considered doing board work. I just thought I was done. So he said, "I have this company, it's a public company in Houston, and they're looking for someone with marketing and retail expertise. You just seem like you're a great fit. Would you consider it?" I met with them. They're great people, and they're mostly all bankers, so they think I'm a rock star, you know, which is great, because I'm just talking about stuff that you all know, and they just are like, "Oh, wow." So it's fabulous, because I get to use all my experience and all my knowledge to further the company. And at a different level, you know, you're not tied to the day-to-day work, so it's really actually really fascinating to do board work. It gets me to honor my desire to not give up my free time, because it's not particularly time-consuming, but it really keeps my head challenged, and it keeps me in the business world to an amount that I'm really comfortable with. So I would recommend that as something if you're looking. You can always start a nonprofit, because nonprofit's great board work to do, because it's less risky, because you're not really an independent director. But I would really recommend finding those kinds of things as you too get. You all look so young to me; it's like unbelievable. But you know, as you get to that point of retiring, it doesn't mean it has to be over. It just means you have to be open to what's next. And I think that's really the message that I want to give you. So I'm going to end with how I began, which is, you know, be in love with your life. Really be in love with your life. Don't settle for anything less than what you deserve. Trust yourself, believe in yourself, be good to yourself. And it's true, like Dr. Seuss, who's brilliant, you know, forget about Einstein, you know, there is no one alive who's youer than you. And just remember that. I think you guys are amazing women from the people that I've spoken with. So just be really true to yourself.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Women in Retail Talks. Please check out our podcast channel page for show notes. Women in Retail Talks is available on iTunes and Stitcher, but make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. Lastly, please follow us on Twitter at WIR Leadership or on Instagram at WIR Leadership. Thanks, and I look forward to you joining us on our next episode of Women in Retail Talks.